Welcome back to the Fantasy Funkhouse. Week 4 is in the books, and we're looking forward to Week 5. We got an excellent show lined up for you. We got my co-host, as always, Mr. Chains. How you doing, Jerry?
Doing well. I'm glad I'm ready to get Week 4 in the rearview mirror. It was a very tough week on me personally, going 0-4 across the board. But that's okay. That happens. We'll get past it. Let's move on to Week 5.
And a very, very special guest. And, you know, the pocketbook of the living room took a hit with this one, but we're swinging for the fences. And on the show today, we have host of Inside Edition, Deborah Norville. So, wait, what? We couldn't get Deborah. Okay. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I forgot.
Jerry forgot to fill me in. The producer's in my ear right now, Mr. Just Right, saying we couldn't get Miss Norville. Little pricey for us. Okay, so who do we have today? Oh, okay. So, an excellent fill-in. I don't mean to sell you short, but new permanent fixture in the living room, co-host of the hit show, The Stairway, Bad News Bri. Bri, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Hoping to, offer some good news this week and, help get our fans ready for another week of football.
Looking forward to it. So if you guys haven't checked it out, any of you Yinzers, jump on over to The Stairway. Brian and Mike, you've been doing a great job. New show on the network this year for all of your Steeler needs. And we'll be talking a good amount of Steelers later. So, Brian, I hope you are warmed up or maybe didn't wear yourself out. Not sure if you guys already recorded The Stairway for this week. So got plenty left to talk about. All right, so let's get down to it. Jerry, as always, how about a review of our big-time kind of stat sheet makers this week and some of the guys that disappointed?
Yeah, so it was a wild week four. A lot of studs and duds. QBs, Josh Allen led the charge. He had a week winning performance, 45 points, 320 yards, 5 total touchdowns. The Bills looked absolutely deadly. Fields had a big day. He had the best passing game of his career against the Cows. Nearly 37 fantasy points. It did not translate to a win for them. Richardson, great game of him. He's looking really good. 33 points. He had 3 total touchdowns. Other guys that had big games, Lamar, Jalen, Baker, Russell, Dobbs, Shroud, all those guys had 25-point-plus weeks. So it was a big week for quarterbacks. The duds. Joe Burrow continued to lead the charge on this list. We hate to see that. He's turned it into one of the worst picks of the year. He's ruining fantasy teams. It's tough if you're a manager. He's on one of your teams right now.
Each and every one
we'll
of
talk
us.
More
it don't
later.
Out there.
Ritter had a terrible game for the Falcons. I'm really hoping they put Heinicke in there at some point. I think he could open up that passing attack a little bit, but we'll see. Kenny Dom. Terrible game. Giants are a mess without Saquon. They got a really tough schedule coming up, too. They play the Dolphins. They play the Bills. Not looking good for them. Goff had a low week, but that was mainly because Montgomery stole all the touchdowns. Running backs. Speaking of running backs, studying running backs on the week, McCaffrey, nearly a 50-point outing this week. He's starting to separate himself from the rest of the running backs. He is the guy. He's on pace to have his best year yet. Just hope he stays healthy. Monty, who I just mentioned, David Montgomery, had a big 3-touchdown game. Very surprising, painful for me to watch. Didn't expect that workload coming off an injury. I know Gibbs managers were punching the air the whole time. We'll talk more about Monty later. Josh Jacobs, big game. Managers of him have been waiting for one like this. He put up nearly 30 points. Kyren Williams and Devin Achane, both huge weeks. Those rookies continuing to put up some huge numbers. And Henry had a really good game. Derrick Henry even had a passing touchdown, more than Joe Burrow. Running back duds. Raheem Mostert. This was a huge drop for him after the monster 4-touchdown week game. He only had 5 points. It was all Achane this week. I think we're going to see that as the season progresses. I think we'll see it bounce back and forth. Tony Pollard, 11 for 47. He did have a few catches, but he really wasn't needed in that game. That game got out of hand. They put a pounding on the Patriots. Miles Sanders for the Panthers, he had a rough week. He was playing hurt, didn't do much. Wide receiver studs, A.J. Brown had his week. 38 points, 9 for 175, 2 touchdowns. Incredible. Diggs, 3 touchdowns. Incredible game. Nico Collins, what a game for him. Huge game against Steelers, 2 touchdowns. He was wide receiver 3 on the week. And Puka continues this insane yardage pace. He's on track right now for like the Cooper Cup triple crown year and Megatron's biggest year. We'll talk more about him. Some just honorable mentions of the week for wide receivers. DJ Moore had a big week. Mikey Wilson and Justin Jefferson. Duds, Waddle, 4 for 46. He's really struggling so far. T. Higgins, he left the game with a rib injury. He's questionable this week. Mike Evans, he went out with an injury. All tough breaks there. Tight ends, studs week. It was kind of an odd week for tight ends here. Cole Kmet led the charge with a 2-touchdown day. Just if you're committed to him or not. Mark Andrews, 2 touchdowns. John who's big week for the Falcons. He's better than Collins. And then my boy, Fergalicious Jake Ferguson, had another game, 7 for 77. For duds at tight end, Pitts, just give up. He's not good. Forget it. Goddard, it's not looking good for him at all either. I'm not sure what you do with him. And Hawkins, had a real bad
385 days and he lasted 9 plays, but the right
interesting
by medical
week
staff
for some big Zach names on the Dodge list. As you can see, that Pitts and Goddard, they look terrible. Waddle, I'm wondering if maybe he's dealing with an injury more than we know here, but some interesting ones. Burrow, man, tough to watch.
Yeah, the Burrow thing is hard to watch, and you know, I just finished up the Picks Pod, which you were a guest on this week, and might I add, an excellent, excellent episode. But I know you guys talked a good amount about Joe Burrow. I know how much you love Joe Burrow, Jerry. I'm right there with you. This is very worrisome, but I feel like we're past the point of no return. I feel like we're past the point of letting him rest for a few weeks, because it's week 5, and you're 1-3. And you sit him for 2 weeks, and maybe 2 weeks right before the bye, you're 1-7. Or I'm sorry, you're 1-5. Because you're not gonna I'm not sure where their bye is, but you're not gonna probably win a game with Jake Browning. It seems to me like their best bet to actually win a game right now is because Joe Burrow is playing. You should have sat him, like Jamar Chase said, for the first month of the year. But if you remember training camp, he got hurt like the very, very first week of training camp. And he did not practice once until like right before the season. So that was a month, at least, somewhere around a month. If your calf strain isn't healing in a month, like right before the season, this has got to be something more. Now, what do we know about the calf? It's attached to the Achilles. I'm starting to think maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it's not just a calf. Maybe it is kind of sneaking down to that Achilles territory. I'm not a doctor by any means, but I've had some calf strains, and yeah, they're like painful, but I don't know. There's something weird that doesn't heal in a month, and then he has a setback, and he's still not right, and I get it. You can have setbacks. I'm not saying he can't, but the fact that you're week in and week out, and week 3, they had a good game. I think it was week 3, and everybody's like, oh, okay, they're coming back. They're good, and now you play against the worst pass defense in the league, and now you get embarrassed. I mean, you play against the worst pass defense of the league, and you can't do anything, and they're the worst passing offense in the league, maybe, Tennessee, and they torch you. So, I don't know what's up with this Bengals team. It's very odd. Some people had them as AFC favorites. Certainly in contention to win the AFC North. Bri, what do you think about this Bengals team? Because there's a lot of fantasy, impactful players on this roster with Chase and Higgins, obviously Burrow, Mixon. Some people liked Irv Smith. So, what are your thoughts on the Bengals here, Bri?
Yeah, it's not just Burrow owners. It's impacting a lot of different owners that have all those amazing pieces you just mentioned. So the offense looks terrible. I totally agree. They should have just let them start the season on the sidelines, rest up. It's a long season. They just handled it completely, and now they're paying for it, and they can't really afford to sit him right now unless they want to give up on the year. So doesn't look good. Will he get a little bit better and you know, through it and heal up? It's hard to say, but it's not looking so good.
I mean, there's always a possibility that you could heal up, but when's that going to happen? I think your best bet, and I'm not sure if you guys know off the top of your head when the Bengals bye week is, but if you could sit him for, you know, maybe a week before the bye, and then, you know, get 2 weeks off, that's going to be your best bet. You know, you could have one Jake Browning week and you know, try to get out of that. But I'm trying to see. Trying to see when the bye week is.
October 22nd.
Okay, so that's coming up, actually. That's in like 2 weeks.
So that's, yeah, we got two games.
They have Arizona, Seattle, and then bye.
So I would say you try to get past Arizona, and that's a chore right now with the way Dobbs and company is playing. But you try to get past Arizona with Burrow. I think you sit him against Seattle. They have the bye week. You see what you can do. There's so much riding on Burrow here, like you said, Bri, with Chase and Higgins. And if not, I think you try to pull the trigger on a T. Higgins trade, maybe send him over to somewhere like the Giants, I think would be interesting. Somewhere maybe like Carolina, I think would be interesting. Somebody that's really craving a number one kind of ex-prototype receiver like T. Higgins. I think that would go a long way. But like you said, if you're going to sit Burrow for an extended period of time, your season's over. And that's fine, because I don't think they're going to make too much of a push anyway, but it's just really disappointing to see. You know, I don't want to beat the dead horse here, but I feel like all of us at some point have, you know, investments in Burrow. Jerry, I know me and you heavily this year. And me in a dynasty. Yep. I have him in a dynasty, and I'm terrified just to, I don't know, even beyond this year. I really am. So that's my big takeaway from last week. I couldn't be more worried about this situation.
I agree.
So I wanted to ask you guys, Jerry, I know you did, but Bri, did you get any of the Toy Story stream in Andy's room?
The animated stream?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. It was pretty cool. Couldn't watch it consistently and enjoy the game, but I love the novelty of it.
Yeah, I thought the novelty wore off fast. I was pretty pumped. I'm a Toy Story guy. I'm sure you guys are as well. We grew up with it. Amazing characters. And I put it on, and it was very laggy. I think we saw a lot of Booger McFarlane, and I can't remember the other guy that was the white guy that was on the cast. But it looked like we were just staring at them as claymation characters at a desk and weren't even watching the game for a while. And I don't know if that was technical difficulties or whatever, but I will say the accuracy of watching the players, like that a couple Trevor Lawrence scrambles were identical to what it was in real life. They were showing the play-by-play like right beside it. So that was really cool, but certainly could not watch a full game like that. I love what they're trying to do to get the younger crowd in there and understand the rules, but them kind of breaking down the football in the most basic terms was just I guess a lot for me, but it's just not for me. It's great that they're trying to get a younger crowd. It's just not for a veteran, you know, football fan, and that's great. I do wish there would have been an alternate stream that I could have switched on. But Jerry, kind of like you said on the pick show, I just had it on in the background while I was pissing around in the kitchen, just so I could listen to, you know, something on the game. But it is cool that they did it.
Slinky Dog was the underrated star of that broadcast.
Yeah.
Being the down markers. I really liked that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool for sure. All right. So that's our recap for last week. So week five. This is a big week. If you were, you know, kind of down and out in the first few weeks, this is kind of your, this is where, you know, you put that behind you. You got a month out of the way, a third of the regular season, just about. And, it, you know, it's got to go up from here. So there's still plenty of time. And right now we're going to get into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange and talk about maybe some moves we could make, guys that were hot waiver ads the past few weeks, maybe some guys that are really giving us some fits and we're worried about. And I'm going to start it off. I think we spent a lot of time on Burrow. I have him in caps and several underlines, so I can skip that. We talked about that quite a bit. But let's go with a couple guys that are coming back off of the PUP list, supposedly soon, in Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor. So, Jerry, I'm sure these guys were on your list. I have no doubt about that, but wanted to get your guys' take on what to expect from Jonathan Taylor. Do you think he'll play for the Colts? Do you think they'll trade him? Do you think he'll sit? Do you think it's still a volatile situation? We'll start with JT, and then we'll go over to Kupp.
Yeah, for Taylor, I think he came back. He came back to practice today, so it's really tough for me to know what to expect here moving forward. And I expect him to be activated soon. Will he play this week? I don't know. If he does play this week, they play the Titans. Do you trust to put him in your lineup right away? Because of this whole team situation is so ugly that who knows what's going to happen. I don't trust him yet. I think you got to wait and see what happens here this week. It's going to be pivotal if they activate him or not. But for me, I'm waiting a little bit unless you absolutely have to. I mean, you know, we don't know if he's going to play this week, but.
Yeah, we'll see. Bri, what are your thoughts?
You go in any direction here, really. But I think the key thing is here, do you call your shot? Do you try to trade for him? Are you afraid? Do you want to get rid of him and try to sell high? He's really, you know, an elite player when things are going right. And you have Zach Moss right now, who's the number 18 running back in fantasy. I don't think anyone thinks he's the most touted player. So if Taylor does end up playing, you can bet that if he stays healthy, he's going to be a top five player the rest of the way. So this is going to be very interesting if he stays there. And if not, even more interesting where he ends up.
Yeah, I think that the possibility of him getting traded is very close to zero. It maybe not be zero, but it's pretty close for me. My most realistic outcome for this is that he comes back, probably not right away, because you need, I believe, six games for this to count as like a season as far as your contract goes. I believe he gets six games in. I am willing to bet he probably doesn't get many more than six games in. There's no love lost between him and the Colts. He does not care about the team's success. He cares about himself, which I'm not faulting him for that. It is a business. You got to put food on the table. You know, I'm critical of Jonathan Taylor. I'm not a big fan. I don't think he's as good as we thought he was, and maybe some injuries have sapped that away from him. I'm not talking about talent here. I just don't think that he really wants to give his all for this Colts team. So I feel like he'll get his, you know, games in, and it's week five. You know, we have until week 18 to accumulate six games. So it would be a very odd situation if he were to sit out week five and six and then play 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and then just not play anymore. I don't know if that's the case, but there's going to be something with him barely getting these games in to accumulate. And then the offseason can come and they can really, you know, put a thoughtful effort into, okay, where can we send them? What's a realistic expectation for a trade? Because if I'm Ursay and Steichen, why would I want them there? You know, like it's bad for everybody. You got a young quarterback. You got a hopefully an ascending young offense. You got a pretty good offensive line still. And Zach Moss has been doing work for you. So why do you care if you get him? Why do you want to make his life miserable? I don't quite get it. I don't think he'll get traded. I think a lot of the teams, we talked about it, I think last week maybe, a lot of the teams that were in the market for him are just not anymore. And I don't know. It's the trade that I remember mostly around this time of the season is when the Browns sent Trent Richardson to Indy for a first-round pick. And we all know how that went. It was the end of his career. He was horrible. I don't know if it was a playbook issue, but he was never the same after he left Cleveland. And I'm not saying that'll happen for JT because I do think he could have success otherwise. But trading a running back to another team at this point is odd, and you rarely see them truthfully succeed like you want a guy like JT too. So be on the lookout, pay attention to reports, and there's going to be a lot of weird things, I think, in the media regarding this, but you got to put your best foot forward and make a decision. If I have him, I'm going to try to sell him on my roster. I wouldn't have drafted him in the first place, shopping. But I would, shop him, see what you can get. If you can get even like a wide receiver 3 or, a flex running back with flex appeal, I think that's the way you go. Maybe upgrade your tight end, but I don't want him rotting on my team and taking up a bench spot if he's just going to sit on the sidelines. And, we got reports of them. Oh, yeah, the NFLPA, they were feigning or, embellishing injuries so they could sit out and not get hurt any worse. It's a weird situation. Nobody knows if it's true or not. But I think we're going to get a glimpse into it. If anybody, would be in the position to do that, it would be a guy like JT. So, I don't know. We'll see how that goes, but I'd certainly be trying to sell him and get what you can for him. So going over to Cooper Kupp, I guess on a little bit of a brighter note, it looked like his hamstring injury was not nearly as bad as expected. That was a report that came out today, and McVay is saying he's pushing to play this week and seems like he's feeling good. So I'm fairly optimistic about Kupp. I mean, you probably drafted him fairly high, but I don't think there's any reason to really panic right now or try to sell the farm or anything like that. So, Jerry, what are your thoughts on Kupp coming back?
Yeah, if I'm managing Cooper Kupp, I'm excited because he's coming back this week, and it sounds like McVay is pretty confident in it. Sounds like he's ready to go. My biggest concern with him coming back is what it does to Puka Nacua. Does his stock drop rapidly? He now become, a 5-target guy instead of 10 targets a game, because Cooper Kupp is going to get that ball. We all know that. And he's one of the best wide receivers in the league when healthy. So to me, if I have Cooper Kupp, I'm extremely excited because he's going to get his work no matter what. I'm concerned as the Puka owner, though, because
that's fair.
You've been riding high off of this wave that he's putting on right now, and it has to come down some.
Yeah, Tutu Atwell owners as well, because they've enjoyed a few nice games from him. So, Bri, what are your thoughts on Kupp coming back?
Yeah, I think he's someone who he's not just a slot guy, so there's going to be room for him here. He's not going to just play, get replaced with Cooper Kupp. He can play on the outside. I think he's going to be a really number two receiver the rest of the year. And you got to hold on to him if you have him because, I'm a little bit worried about Kupp and this re-injury. He's got a lot of miles on those legs. It definitely elevates Stafford a little bit. Maybe he becomes a nice number two option at quarterback. And then Tutu, I think he's really kind of wiped off the radar as long as those guys are there. That's just a lot of different mouths to feed.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think Stafford's already in the number two territory. He's been awesome. He's been much better than expected, so I'm with you there. That was my next question, actually, is what are your guys' thoughts on Stafford? And I certainly think this elevates him. I think there's enough meat on the bone probably for Kupp and Puka, and there's got to be some nickname with Puka Cooper. There's some like syllables in there that you can play around with, kind of get a little something going. So I do think that Stafford could be nice coming on here with those guys and a pretty solid running game, it seems like. So excited to see them against Philly this week. But I do really enjoy Stafford, how he's been playing, and I think he's going to be pretty solid going forward here. Not like a top 10 guy by any means, but somewhere around 15 to 20.
Yeah, I love Stafford. and bringing Cup back is only going to make him elevate, like you said. Puka Bazooka, maybe.
Okay.
He's a cool stat I seen on Stafford today was about Puka being on pace for the yardage, you know, record the Cup and Megatron have. And the thing that's common in between all three of those guys is Stafford was the quarterback.
Yep, so I saw that as well.
He can support a wide receiver, that's for sure.
Yeah, he can pepper his guys. And I do think he could handle two of those. There could be two, maybe not full on receiver, you know, wide receiver ones, but maybe not that far off. So I'm very, very impressed with this Rams team, and it solidifies to me just how really good of a football coach Sean McVay is, because not a ton of talent on this team, and they're playing some really, really good football. All right, so we got those two guys out of the way. Let's talk about two popular waiver ads this week. So a guy that I figured you'd be pretty hot to trot for, Jerry, knowing your Co's bloodlines, but Jaleel McLaughlin. What are your guys' thoughts on this kid, and you think he's going to be a viable starter going forward, or do you think this is kind of turning into a three-headed monster?
Yeah, so I had multiple bids in for him that I went back and forth with all night last night, changing my bid. I had him as my number one waiver grab at first, bidding $16 to $17 on him, and I dropped it down. And by the end of the night, I had it down to zero. Because
yeah, I saw that.
I started leaning towards it's going to be more of a three-headed monster. Javonte is not for sure like out either. Yeah, he got hurt, but it's not like he's done.
Right.
We'll see what happens there. It's definitely something to monitor. But of those guys, I mean, if it's just Samaje and Jaleel, I do prefer Jaleel just because he's looked so much more explosive on the field, and he's got a couple touchdowns, and Sean Payton really likes him, so it seems like he's going to use him. But if it's the mix of all three, I'm not sure I want a part of any of it.
B-Rai?
I'm kind of staying away from this three-headed monster. I think as the year goes along, Javonte is going to get a little bit more healthy. So I'm still hoping, as an owner in the double league, I'm still hoping for him to kind of turn things around and show what he did his rookie year. But I'm not saying that it can't happen. The guy's definitely showed some juice, but I'm looking to avoid these three-headed monster situations.
Yeah, I was very high on Javonte coming in. Jerry, you know that. We talked about it quite a bit, and I just thought he was a steal where he was going. And Bri, you snagged him right in front of me because we were back-to-back after we dominated that putt-putt game. And I was pretty salty about it. You took several players off me, actually. But I really wanted Javonte. He's looked okay, but it's just hard for me to get behind this offense, especially when they want to give Piran a good amount of work. And now this kid, Jaleel McLaughlin, who looked pretty good. But if you look at his stat line, 7 rushes for 79 yards last week, and then like 3 catches for 30-some and a tut. You know, a nice stat line there, but is this sticky? You know, is this going to be a trend going forward? I'm not quite sure. But again, I like you said, Bri, it's probably guys that I want to stay away from. If I have Javonte, certainly hanging on to Jay Williams. And I'd like to talk about this Jay Williams conundrum real quick. So two leagues that Jerry and I are in, there was a Jay Williams Pam dilemma to where last week Weber dropped Jay Williams thinking he dropped Jamal Williams for, fuck, I don't even know, Charbonnet, I think. And he certainly dropped Javonte and was not happy about it. And we had to vote on it via the group, and good friend of the show, Crazy Legs Chris Johnson, told Weber he has to go around to the league members and tell them one nice thing about them, and then we can vote based on how we feel about that. And it was an excellent idea, Chris. So I pat you on the back for that. And we did end up, it was a blunder. Yes. He, you know, right away he texted crook and was like, hey, I fucked up royally. This was not meant to be. But Lucas last night, and Jerry, the screenshot you sent where he bid twice on the same fucking guy, I almost pissed my pants. That is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in fantasy. So, Lucas, I know you're listening. I'm not trying to belittle all your players. Trust me, this is not something we try to do. but man, this is so funny. And I feel for you. It's a tough year. I've had a lot of bad luck in some other leagues as well. You're having some not great injury luck. But the fact that you bid twice on Jamal Williams and woke up without Javonte is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. So it's just
classic.
Man, when you're another commissioner, that stuff, it gets you through the day. And when you do it yourself, it'll keep you up at night. So I had to go off on a little tangent there. That's incredible. Another guy I wanted to talk about here, and then I'll turn it over to you for a few, Jerry, is this kid, Mikey Wilson, for the Cardinals. So I snagged him in Dub League. Kid looks pretty solid, getting a lot of work. You know, I spent the last dime that I had, and it's week 5, which I kind of love, and it's funny, but I wish I had more to show for the money that I've spent this year, but it's already said and done, and you can't go back now. But spent $18 on Mikey Wilson just because the Cardinals are not a great football team. They're going to be down, and why wouldn't he get a ton of targets going forward with what he's shown, whether it's Dobbs or Kyler or Colt McCoy or Carson Palmer or Jake Plummer. I don't care who's in there throwing him the ball. This kid should get 6 to 7 targets a game, you should think. So, Bri, what are your thoughts on Mikey Wilson?
You definitely beat me out on him in Dub League. I don't have a lot of money left after that four bid, but I put a few dollars in and definitely got outbid by you. So good job on that one. I expect him to be a contributor when you have a deep bench in a deep league, I should say, or a deep team where you have 12 people in the league. You need anyone that can get you 10, 11, 12 points a week. So I think he's going to be very valuable in deeper leagues. I also think that for a guy who passed up Rondell Moore on the depth chart, Rondell Moore was a guy who last year was offered a little bit of value, I think. So for him to pass him up, that looks good. And you know, sooner or later, I would expect Murray to rejoin the team. So maybe he's a guy that kind of surprises people as the year goes on.
Yeah, Jerry?
Yeah, I also got beat in the bid for Michael Wilson. That's who I ended up at the end of my night pacing of who to put bids in for. He was the guy that I wanted. He's done a lot with any target he's got. Week 2, he had 3 targets. He caught all 3 for 56. The week they played Dallas, he had 2 targets. He caught both of them for 86 yards. This week, they got him more involved. 7 targets. He caught all 7 for 76 and 2 touchdowns. Like Brian said, he's taken over the Rondale Moore role, and I think he looks much better. Yeah, I think he's a great pickup, and I think he could be a sneaky player that we're just going to continue to see grow throughout the year. And Dobbs has not looked bad. I mean, even against the 49ers, he had a good game.
Yeah. Better than DTR.
We'll have Murray back at some point. That's for sure, yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you guys brought up.
Michael Wilson, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I got him in the Sanctuary.
Nice. You guys brought up Kyler Murray. Now, I scour news reports all day, just like I'm sure you guys do, looking for stuff. I have not heard one peep about Kyler Murray. I don't know if you guys have at all, but if he comes back, and I thought that, like, why would they come back? They're going to be the worst team in football. They're going to draft Caleb Williams. This is going to be a non-issue. They're going to trade him in the offseason. Well, they're not in a position to draft Caleb Williams. So Murray is probably going to be in the future of this team after they paid him. So maybe he will come back this year now. I'm kind of convinced that it works out that they might bring him back, but I don't know. I just have not heard a thing. You know, we heard preseason, oh, he's, you know, he could come back and get into training camp. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this was a late season ACL. I don't know. It seemed weird, but I'm certainly not closing the door on it at this point. So that's an interesting thing to think about.
The last thing I heard Saturday, I think it was that he wasn't expected to return off the PUP list, or he was still weeks away from playing, is how they put it, I think, from Schefter. But I agree. Go ahead.
I think they said something about, like, they weren't going to activate him off the window or something right away. So it's definitely going to be several weeks, I would say, before he even starts practicing. And then once he starts practicing, like, it doesn't mean he's going to start playing right away. So in the Kane League, I drafted him, I think it was last pick or one of the last picks, and just threw him right in my IR spot for later. Hopefully he does come back this year.
Yeah, I think it's plausible. Yeah. So, Jerry, what do you want to review here?
We covered a lot of the guys that I had, but just another one I'll bring up. I already complained about him a little bit earlier. Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Is he droppable? Do you start Jonnu Smith over him? I mean, the passing attack on this team is laughable. Matt Collins was slapping away Ritter's handshakes of condolence, trying to tell him he'll get him the ball, and he said, "No, you won't. So it's kind of a mess over there in Atlanta as far as that goes. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the Jonnu Smith thing, kind of running circles around him. It's weird. He's even getting more targets. I feel like it just might be best for Atlanta to part ways with Pitts. I don't know how else to say that. He's an incredible player. Well, I won't say that. He has incredible potential and incredible talent. He's not yet an incredible player by any means. By any means. But, man, maybe just a change of scenery would really help out there. They're not going to throw the ball a ton. If they want to throw to Jonnu, that's great. I mean, I like Jonnu. I've always been a Jonnu guy. He can just do a lot. You know, there's a lot of different things that he can bring to the table here. And they want to run the ball, and Kyle Pitts is not an inline blocking tight end by any means. And you have a guy like Drake London, and maybe you could bring in some other receivers here. I think it's pretty safe to say Ritter is not the answer. And I was kind of a Ritter apologist since he was drafted, and I'm certainly going to take a huge L on that. And that's fine. Willing to move on from Ritter. I'm done. I know Len was in the same boat. He's just an easy bottom five quarterback in the NFL right now, and at a time where there's not a ton of great ones, in my opinion. You know, there's a handful of elite and a few really good, and it's just not super great after that. So he'll be gone pretty soon, and I wouldn't be surprised if Heineke is under center within the next few weeks here, depending on, you know, their record. But I don't think you can do anything with Pitts the rest of the year. If you could try to sell him for something, go ahead. But otherwise, you're going to have to just keep starting him and hope for that 20 point week, because he'll have one big game this year, maybe two. Are you going to bench him those games? You know, if you're going to start him in all the rest of the year, you got to start him every week, or else just don't start him at all. I think those are your two choices. It's one or the other, because you're going to get fucked either way. You know, that's just how it goes. If you don't start him, you're going to miss those couple blow-up games. If you do start him, you're going to take six more, you know, six-point weeks, maybe less than that, and you got to just be okay with that. So that's where I'm on right. Pitts. I have him in Dynasty. He's young enough where I'm willing to just ride it out. You know, I was pretty happy with my tight end room going into this year with Njoku and Pitts. I couldn't have been way off on either one of those, and we'll save that kind of mid-season. We have a show planned where we're going to talk about all the guys we were wrong about, because I think that's one of the funner shows that we do, and believe me, my list is lengthy. It's like a CVS receipt. So Bri, I'll throw it over to you for your take on Pitts.
So this was actually one of my soapbox hero items I was going to talk about, so we'll do it now. Just want to give some advice to all you fantasy owners out there for your own mental health. Just drop him already. Just drop him. Don't ever draft him again until he either gets traded, there's a scheme change, or they get a legit quarterback that could help. He's obviously a very talented guy, but something just doesn't look right. Not just the system. I think he's playing hurt. I've been hearing some things about him playing hurt for a while now.
Yep.
So, yep. Quite frankly, he looks like Frankenstein running routes in a tight pair of khakis. Jonnu Smith's not playing him right now. Can we just talk? Just quit talking about him for the rest of the season until he does something. You can drop him, trade him.
Yes.
Don't ever draft him again until he does something meaningful. Or any changes that are meaningful happen, don't do it.
DND.
DND is right. Yeah. You have any more, Jerry? I do have a couple more if you don't.
Yeah, go for it.
So I want to talk about a group of pass catchers here for the New Orleans Saints. Now, this Carr injury, I don't know what to think of it. They were horrible last week, and I don't think Olave had a target until third quarter. That's the best player on your offense pretty easily at this point with, you know, the corpse of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. I think the shoulder is bothering him with 13, you know, receptions for Kamara under, you know, under 40 yards. impressive to do, but not in a good way. So I'm pretty worried actually about Olave going forward, and M-Tom, while he doesn't look that bad, I just have some questions about the offense, and hopefully it's just a health issue for Carr and he can kind of get right in the next couple weeks. But, you know, Juwan Johnson, who we both love, Jerry, he's useless. I mean, he's legitimately useless at this point, and he's hurt. I've cut him in a couple leagues. I think you have as well. That's a huge disappointment because he was awesome last year, and Carr loves his tight end. So I don't quite understand it, but what are your thoughts on these pass catchers of the Saints and Rashid Shaheed? Throw him in the mix too.
Yeah, it was very frustrating last week to watch that. It sounded for sure that Carr was going to be out. Then that changed on Saturday, and all of a sudden he was going to be okay possibly. And he wasn't okay. He shouldn't have played. He couldn't throw it more than 3 yards. Why not just put Winston in for that game, give him the week to rest? I don't understand it. It's early enough in the season that it wasn't like this must-win situation. So everyone fantasy-wise pretty much hurt because of it, other than Kamara catching a million passes. The way Carr looked this week, it's definitely worrisome. If this continues, man, it'll be very disappointing for Olave managers, because he's started out the season fantastic. Last week was obviously horrible, huge dud. But, something to monitor. Watch his shoulder.
Yeah, for sure. Last one I have is Calvin Ridley, and we'll make this one quick. But are you guys worried about Ridley? I only have him in one league. I wanted him in every league. I'm kind of glad I don't have him right now. Even with Lawrence playing better last week, he still had very limited targets. Yeah, he scored a nice touchdown, but the high-end wide receiver, too, that you thought he was going to be, he's just not there. And I don't know when that'll change. Zay Jones will be back soon. We know how much Lawrence likes him. Evan Ingram's soaking up a ton of targets. What are your guys' thoughts on Ridley going forward? Do you panic? Is this a year-long thing, or do you think he'll figure it out?
I don't think it's time to panic yet. The targets is the issue. He's not getting enough targets. The Jaguars' passing attack has not been what we thought it was going to be, but it's so early. I think these kind of teams will get better as we go. He's only played 4 games in how many years now, so give it time. He's getting back into the game. I wouldn't panic, but definitely temper your expectations for a little while till we see a little more.
B. Ryan?
Yeah, I think he'll turn it around. He is an elite talent. He hasn't played in a couple years, like Jared said. I think he's just going to have to figure it out. He's fighting through some things here. I think he had a couple drops that were close to being touchdowns. So he's close. And I think he's one of those guys that has the talent. If this offense starts clicking again, if Lawrence starts looking like we expect him to before the season, then I think he's going to be that number one guy in this team. I think I'm a big Kirk fan, admittedly. I think the value on him in this draft season was underrated. So I think he's a great number two, but Calvin's really that number one guy that scares defenses. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, I agree with you guys for sure. All right, so that'll bring us into the smash picks of the week, brought to you by Burger Daddy and Drip Coffee House, Brookville, Pennsylvania. Head on down to historic downtown Brookville and get yourself a nice cup of Joe. Brian, I'm not sure if you heard about Drip Coffee House yet. New establishment by the Wagner family, and I'm actually heading to Du Bois this Saturday morning, and I'm very much looking forward to driving through and grabbing a cold brew and just kind of seeing what they got. Probably pick up some little baked goods for my mom on the way home and kind of get her a little sampler of that. I knew she was excited about it, so definitely looking forward to that. And Brian, I know you're a huge coffee guy, so if you're you guys are heading back to Du Bois soon, would you pop over into Brookville and see what they got?
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
And I know Len said I think he had a ham, egg, and cheese. He said it was excellent, so have no doubt whatsoever.
Nice.
All right, so we'll get into the smash picks from last week. I will say I went from my best smash week in, probably tied for my best in the Funkhouse history, 3 out of 4, to pretty easily my worst, I think. Hopefully I don't follow up again with mine this week, because they are pretty zesty, Jerry. I will tell you that. Reaching deep, deep into the pages of the rankings here. So go over mine and Len's quick. Len didn't do it, too much better than me. I had Jared Goff at quarterback. It was that Thursday game that was all David Montgomery. So Goff ended up with 13 points and pretty mediocre, but he didn't play a bad game. They just didn't need much. Running back, Miles Sanders. Now, this injury kind of popped up after we made the pick. I'm not going to make excuses. He had 5 points. Chuba Hubbard out-touched him, outplayed him pretty handily, in my opinion. So not great on Miles there. Wide receiver, I had Tank Dell. I still believe in you, Tank. You're an awesome talent, and, that stuff's going to come. He had only 3 points. It was a rough day for Tank. And
wow.
Let's see what else we got here. Oh, tight end Darren Waller. Couldn't have been worse. Darren Waller looks bad. He looks real bad. I was super down on him coming into the year, and this is why. He doesn't look like he cares to play. And to be honest with you, I know it's a Giants team that none of them look great, but I think Waller is probably I think he's about done, in my opinion. So that's just, I don't know. It doesn't look like he really wants to be out here. Maybe he just can't do it anymore, but the fit doesn't work, and he's not bringing it to the table. So Waller had another 5 points. Terrible week, 0 out of 4, but this week's another week. Len comes in with Matt Stafford, who had the same stat line he has every week, which is 300 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. Just mark him down for that every week. Maybe when Kupp gets back, he can up that to maybe like 1.5 per week averaged out. So we'll see how that goes. But a decent outing. I'm not sure we can give you a smash for that, though, Len. Then he had Khalil Herbert here, who had a really nice game against the Coes. 21 points. He had 18 carries for a 103, 4 catches for 19 yards and a tut. So he looked good. I thought this would be huge smash. I thought it'd be a Roshan game, but closer, than everybody would have thought. And big ups to the Coes for that comeback win. So that had to be very defeating for Fields. And I don't want to not talk about Fields here. I'll say, he had an excellent game. It's unbelievable that I played him in every league. Yeah. The week he went off for like 38 points. I don't know. I'm still not. I don't think he's a good football player, but a great week. So credit to Fields and credit to anybody who started him, actually, because that's an even bigger set of balls. So Khalil Herbert was great, and he had Jerry Jeudy. Terrible day for Jeudy. I think Jeudy is a trade candidate as well. Coming up here, I don't think they're going to play him. I don't think they're going to pay him. Excuse me. I don't think that they want rid of him. I just think you're never going to pay him. You got to get some draft capital that you lost for Russ. And those teams that I mentioned before that are wide receiver desperate, I'd probably try to get on the phone and see what you can get for Judy. So he had 8 points, 3 for 50. Not a horrible day, but not very good. And Len's darling, Colby Parkinson, comes in with, I believe he had a zero, to be honest with you. But, yeah, he did. So, one target, zero catches. Not going to do it, Len. So, 0 for 4 as well. Not a great day. Jerry, how'd you do?
I have not done so well in Smashes this season so far. And this week, I kept that trend going. Quarterback, I had Trevor Lawrence. He was quarterback 16 on the week, 207 yards and one touchdown. He did add 42 rushing yards. We just haven't seen the touchdowns come for Lawrence yet, in bunches yet. And it's frustrating, but it's coming. We just talked about him a little bit ago. Running back, I had Kamara. He was running back 9 on the week in PPR. He had 11 carries for 51 yards, and he had 13 catches for somehow only 33 yards. So I can imagine if you played against him this week, that would have been very frustrating to just see him catching a million balls like that. Wide receiver, I had Devonta Smith. He went 7 for 78. Not a bad game, but he was wide receiver 24 on the week. You get a touchdown on top of that, he would have jumped right up into like the top 10. Tight end, I had Hunter Henry, and he only had 9 points on the day. 4 for 51. Still, it's really not that bad of a line for tight ends. It was a miserable excuse for an offense for the Patriots on Sunday, but so I'm surprised that he produced as much as he did. But again, you put a touchdown on top of him for 4 for 51. He's a top 5 for the week. So 1 out of 4, not great. Kamara snuck in there for me just because of the PPR.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take it any way we can get it. Sorry, Len. That's why we play PPR. It catches count, and I'm not sorry about it. And we like points. So that's all we got to say about it. All right. Yep. So smashes for this week. Brian, I'm going to let you start us off at quarterback here. And who are you smashing?
So I hope this isn't too easy of a pick. If it's not, it's going to be in the weeks to come. I'm going to go with Anthony Richardson. Week 1, he was quarterback 4. Week 2, he had 17 fantasy points in just over a quarter of the game before he was knocked out for a concussion. Then he came back. He missed week 3, came back week 4 against the Rams to be the number 2 QB for the week. So this week he goes up against the Titans, who are kind of middle of the road against quarterbacks. So I'm looking for him to smash this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's very doable. They're the worst pass defense in the league, but that doesn't mean quite as much for a run-first quarterback like him, so I see where your head's at there, but amazing potential for a smash there, and I'd love to see it. A few of my fantasy teams are riding on it. So, Jerry, who you got at QB?
I'm going with Tua. Coming off a tough loss from the Bills. Dolphins get the Giants this week, so they're going to rebound. I expect a top 5 performance from him this week. Tyreek even had a slow week last week, and he doesn't do 2 of those in a row. And, you know, Tua's got to give him the ball. So I like him a lot. That was my solution to the Burrow woes I was having. I traded away a player and got Tua. So pretty excited for that. Finally have a QB that can produce some for me.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought that was a good trade. So Tua is I guess. And Tyreek could have 300 yards this week. That's just who he is, and especially against a lowly Giants team here. Looking forward to watching that. So this is the one that I might hear about for years to come, Jerry, and you're probably not going to believe it. Who do you think I'm smashing here?
Well, by that, I'm going to say it's something off the wall. So I'm going to take a wild guess and say Josh Dobbs.
It's not Josh Dobbs. It's way worse. I'm smashing Zachary Wilson against the Denver Broncos. All right. I got to say, Jerry, and I'm not piling on here, but, you know, I was nice about the 70-point game with the Dolphins, but I got to say, after I got to get some of the anger out after the Bills, gave the Dolphins a shellacking of their own. But this Denver D is like the worst I've seen in like a decade, maybe. And that's with one of the best young corners in the league in PS2. He's even getting burnt. I don't understand that. That game against the Dolphins, Robbie Chosen Anderson just smoked him via Mike White for a late touchdown. I don't know what's going on with that, but Wilson looked okay last week. And if he's going to do another, if he's going to have another good game, it's going to be against these Cos. I'm smashing it. Zach Wilson, I'm going to say 250 yards, two tuts, and I'm going to say like 40 rushing yards. I don't know where I'm getting that from, but here it comes against the Cos. And
wow, unbelievable.
Just to kind of twist the knife in your back here, Jerry, I'm going to come out and say running back David Montgomery, you're going to have to start him this week because the Lions are playing who are they playing? I just lost it. Carolina, I believe. Yeah. So he's going to be cementing the game. He's going to get another 56 carries in this one. And Monty's going to score at least once and have over 80 yards on the ground.
I love that. So for my running back, I'm going to stick on the same team here. I'm going with Raheem Mostert. Like I said earlier, it was in a Chan week last week, and I think it's going to swing back a little bit to Mostert this week, and he'll find the end zone, whether it be on the ground or via catch. Yeah, I'm all in on the Dolphins this week.
B-Rod?
All right, for my running back, I'm going to go with Ronnie Rivers.
Wonnie Rivers!
I'm just kidding. Now, this week, I'm going to go with Breece Hall. Nice. Just in time. I don't want to pile on here against the Denver Broncos defense, but they are currently the league's worst defense against the run. Today, we had some hot news that Jets head coach Robert Saul came out and said that he will not be on a pitch count anymore.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook's look washed. There's no Aaron Jones there. Aaron Rodgers there. So I think he's shown enough explosiveness in the very few carries that he's gotten this year. The Jets need some juice. He showed a lot last year before that ACL tear. So I think it's time to take the training wheels off and let him smash.
Yeah, I saw that report too, Bri. I was very, very happy to see it. And you're right. Dalv looks horrible. And I thought he would have had something left coming into the year. I'd rather have Zeke on my team than Dalv Cook. I'd probably rather have old man Len Fournette. I'd probably rather have Devonta Freeman. I mean, Cook looks horrible. So it's just another horrible decision by the Jets and just something that hasn't gone their way. So.
Another note on the Broncos defense, they just released Randy Gregory. So it's one less good player you're going to deal with.
The report I saw about Randy Gregory said the Broncos told whatever beat reporter they want to focus on younger players, and they said, meaning Caleb Williams, which I thought was really funny. So you never know. We'll see. Oh, boy. B-Rye, why don't you give us a wide receiver?
Let's go with Terry McLaurin. He's one of my favorite receivers, but I just feel bad for the guy playing for the just the cast of characters they've put at quarterback in Washington over the last few years. I think he started the year out with the toe injury, so he was a little bit slow, but it must be getting better because last week he had 10 targets. He had a good game. This week he plays the Bears defense Thursday night, who's bottom five against the pass, so expect him to get his season on track with two great games in a row.
Very nice. Jerry?
I'm going to go with Romeo Doubs. The Packers play Las Vegas on Monday night. He's coming off a 12-target and a 13-target game.
Yeah.
He's gone 5 for 73 for one and 9 for 95 in the other one in those games. So he's getting the opportunities, and I think Love trusts him. And they're getting comfortable together. So I like him a lot this week and a lot going forward. Romeo Doubs, smash.
So I am starting Doubs over T. Higgins this week. That'll tell you what I think about Romeo Doubs. regardless of health. I don't care if T is hurt or not. You don't know how close I was to starting the or to smashing the Wilson stack on the Jets against your Cos, Jerry, but I'm not going to do it. But I am going to jump on this Dolphins train and take Jalen Waddle in a nice little comeback game here. He should have had a touchdown last week, had a bullshit call that called the touchdown back here. So I think Waddle can get loose here, something around six catches, over 100 and a tut. I think he has a huge game. Ooh. And he needs Love it. That. I think we all need it. So just had a fresh trade for Waddle. So have him on a couple leagues and really need to see it. So maybe just wishing it into existence at this point, but sometimes that's all you need to do. And tight end, I'm reaching deep on this one. And this one came in from one of our most avid listeners. An email came in from NSigs99. And this one's going to be Tyler Conklin of the Jets again against the Cos here.
Wow.
And I did not plan this. I didn't even realize Conklin was on the Jets until I did, but I didn't get the anti-Denver narrative until I wrote this out. But Conklin's had, six targets and five targets the past couple games, and he should have had a touchdown last week. Got jarred loose in the end zone when he dove for it. But I think that, you know, he's not a top 10 guy, but plug and play fill in that could get you, you know, four catches for 45 yards in a pinch. And sometimes that's all you need at tight end. I think this week he scores. And, you know, one coming from Wilson to give me, you know, a touchdown stack on my smashes here. And I think Tyler Conklin can get you where you need to be at tight end here, especially with our first bye week coming up. Jerry?
I'm going to take my man, Jake Fergalicious, for the Dallas Cowboys. He's getting basically seven targets a game right now, which is awesome for a tight end. And he's doing things with those targets. They play San Fran Sunday night. That's, I think, the game of the week. And I think Dak's going to need his check down guy because that D-line from San Fran is no joke. So I think he'll continue to see his targets this week and might even fall in the end zone.
Ferg Daddy.
Love that, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
good. I've been in a couple leagues, so love hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them young and sexy tight ends. All right, B-Rye, finish us off with tight end.
I'm going to go with Evan Engram of the London Jaguars.
Nice.
It should be a high-scoring game as they battle the Buffalo Bills. He's currently the number four tight end in fantasy and had eight targets each of the last 3 weeks. So
wow,
it's
number four?
Hard to come by in tight end land. So no touchdowns yet. Yeah, for the year. So maybe he's due for one of those. So altogether, I think he'll smash this week.
I'd love to see that. I have him in a couple leagues. I did not know he was tight end four. That's incredible. Awesome. All right. So there are smash picks of the week. Guaranteed 4 for 4 around the table, as always. So go ahead and mark those down. And we're going to jump into our new fan favorite segment, Soapbox Hero. Soap! Soap. Gonna jump right into the soapbox. Bri, I know you had two prepared. You already spent one on Kyle Pitts. I love that. But guests go last here, and you're gonna close out the show. I'm gonna jump up on the box right now, and I'm gonna talk about the disrespect to these Houston Texans. Now, I was on the picks pod last week. I picked them over the Steelers. That was my lock of the week. Nobody believed it. But Stroud is doing incredible things here with his first few games in the league. And the array of pass catchers he has around him, Nico Collins looking like Randy Moss out there, making me look stupid for comparing him to Kenny Golladay, but I'm going to stand by it. That's a long-term, you know, prediction. Tank Dell had a rough game, but he's looking great. Dalton Schultz. Pierce, he's looking better. You know, he's been a landmine, like Jerry said, so far this year, but I'm hoping that turns into – you know, a little bit of gold at the end of the rainbow. So I just think the Texans are getting slept on here. And, you know, it's not that the Steelers are just like this putrid team, but I just think the Texans are a pretty good squad. So it's not a shit on the Steelers soapbox edition here, but I am sick of the Texans' disrespect. And they're a legit team. Now, they're not going to win the division, but the future is here for these Texans. And I really like what they're doing. And I think they need to add a couple of additions to the line here and greatly improve that defense. And once Stingley gets back, that'll be better. But I do want to segue this into some tabloids that I did read today on TM Stees, the very popular Steelers gossip blog. And word on the street is right now, Brian, now I'm going to ask you to confirm this, but a little bit of drama with an ex-tight end of the Steelers and the current quarterback. I want to get your thoughts on this Zach Gentry, Kenny Pickett dilemma here. Now, could have been some wife swapping going on. I know Gentry was a groomsman at Pickett's wedding, and now he's being, pointed out as having adult relations with Kenny Pickett's wife, and Kenny's sleeping on Mitch Berg's couch right now. Do you think there's any truth to this? And if not, why are people spreading this around?
I'm not sure if there's any truth to this. I've definitely heard some stuff, but so there is a rumor going around about all that stuff going on. I don't know how much of it's true. The whole Gentry thing doesn't really add up, but there's definitely a lot of smoke. So I think there's some sort of fire there. Maybe there's some marital issues going on. We'll see if any of this comes out, but it definitely kind of aligns with Pickett kind of not really looking right in the pocket, not really looking accurate. Something's a little off. So maybe there's something behind this.
Yeah, maybe he's a little backed up, hasn't had a good release in a while. Just looking to lighten his load a little bit that maybe the wife isn't helping him out with. But we're going to keep our nose to the grindstone and kind of see how that goes. And I'll be patrolling Reddit. I read some Reddit articles today. A lot of them were deleted, which I don't know if that makes it more believable or less believable because Reddit's such a fucking black hole. But Jerry, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know much about it. I haven't heard much, but it sounds like a bunch of smoke to me. Could be, who knows? I mean, it's on Reddit, like you said. So it's a black hole. Who knows what you find on there, man?
Well, if you know anything about the Funkhouse, we enjoy smoke here. So I'm going to step down off the soapbox here. I'm going to hand it over to my co-host, Mr. Chains.
I'd like to give some credit to the Chicago Bears for getting on their soapbox against Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
They've listened to the Funkhouse. They've finally had enough. They're just straight up just not playing him because they're sick of his shit. So I was very happy to see that. They said they want like a fifth or sixth rounder for him or something. So they're looking to trade him. So just wanted to commend the Bears on that, on their soapbox that I've seen recently. This week, the guy that really grinded my gears, we've talked about him a ton this episode. He's a smash pick this week. David Montgomery, coming off an injury, Thursday night, making me question, do I play him, do I not? Then, it's like you're going to give this guy, we don't even know if he's going to play. It's a game time decision, right? Who knows? We don't know if he's healthy enough. We'll test it out game time. Oh, bullshit. The whole game plan was built around Montgomery. You gave him the ball 30-plus times. Don't give me the smoke and mirrors. You can fake the other teams out. I need to know what's going on with my guys, okay? I manage him. He's on my team as well. Don't hide it from me. I need to know.
Yeah,
other than that, I'm excited to play him this week. So.
Dan, Coach Dan, we know that you listen to the Living Room Champs. You know that the Lions are our team here. Just you should have shared this info with us here in the Funkhouse. We would not have told anybody. We would have done it off the record. So we know the other 31 coaches are listening as well. So anything like that happens, just to kind of throw us a line here. We'll keep it quiet. And So, Brian, why don't you finish it up on the soapbox here?
All right, let you guys know what's been grinding my gears this week. I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak preview into what Mikey Whitesnake and I have been talking about on the Stairway recording. And I don't mean to disrespect the Houston Texans. I think they got a great thing going on, a great young team, but Matt Canada, for fuck's sake. He was severely outcoached by the Texans. They have a rookie offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick. It's his fourth game as an NFL offensive coordinator. He put together a terrific game plan. They had second and third string offensive linemen. While Canada showed up with just an embarrassing game plan. It was just pitiful. So I'll leave it at that. You can tune into the Stairway if you want to hear more bitching and complaining about Canada and that pitiful offense.
Yeah, and I'm a big Bobby Slowick guy. I talked about him on a couple past episodes. So you're right, he did have a great game plan, and he knows that team. He knows the personnel that he has, and he's a young guy, up and comer. So very nice to see, especially when you got a defensive mastermind like D'Amico Ryans kind of running the show. They don't have the personnel to have that great of a defense just yet, but I do have a feeling that it's coming with Stingley and Will Anderson, and you know, we'll see what other pieces they can put together here. So make sure you listen to the Week 5 Picks Pod featuring Mr. Jerry Two Chainz, my co-host here, and also the Stairway featuring Bad News Bry and Mr. Just Right. So got a lot of great shows and content coming your way, mostly going to be football related. So I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're just fine with that. And yeah, I appreciate you coming on, B-Rye. Really wish we could have got, you know, the inside edition in here, but you're going to do just fine, Brian. And welcome to the living room, and we hope you're a permanent fixture here, and I trust that it's going to go just swimmingly for us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, guys. For Mr. Chainz, I am Matty Funk. We're out of here. Good luck in Week 5.
Peace.